Hey, it's Aiden Mortensen here with another Castle Country Focus interview. Joining us, as always, over the phone is Representative Christine Watkins. We're doing this week's legislative update, Representative Watkins. Always a pleasure to have you on. Thank you again for taking the time, as always.
Oh, happy to be here.
So, you know, last week we talked about things speeding up at the state legislature, and it feels like they just keep getting faster and faster. Some of the bills you've introduced at the start of session, they're finally starting to get some fruition, get to that floor, get voted on. So let's talk about a few of those for a second. And one that kind of stood out to me at first, and we were talking about it a little beforehand, was HB 352, or the Geological Carbon Storage Amendments.
Yes. I had the director of the Board of Oil and Gas and Mining for the state come to me and asks me to run this bill. And what we want to do is have primacy over the Class 6 injection wells so that the EPA does not have the primacy. The state of Utah does. And they have been working on this, and then they found out that they were required to have some sort of an enforcement action within 2 years of discovering a violation of the law. They did not have that in their original wording. So they sent me the wording of it. I was able to get the bill done. Thank goodness I had a bill that was able to do that. Because sometimes when people come to you at the beginning of the session, you just have to say, I'm sorry, I can't do it, there's not enough time, we'll do it next year, or find someone who has a priority bill, and I had one left. So it's ready to go. I've requested it be taken out of rules so that we can get moving on it. So anyway, this is a big deal for Utah because we want to have primacy over these wells. We do not want the EPA to be coming in and having control all over this. So just by adding the enforcement action, we can maintain or keep that primacy.
And, you know, hearing you talk about having to find people with priority bills, or if it's the start of the session, it's hard to find it. It reminds me just how interesting it is that we are a part-time legislature, you know? It feels like sometimes people will get caught up in the idea that, you know, this is what you guys are doing year-round, and I'm sure you guys are working year-round, but you only have about that 45-day span to pass any legislation.
Right. And so that's, I've had some people reach out to me with some things, and I've had to say, listen, we file bills from May on, but the longer you wait, the harder it is for us to be able to get it written, because we don't write them. We have attorneys that are hired. We call them drafting attorneys, and that's what they do. They check all the laws and write it in legalese, and there's 104 legislators. There are not 104 drafting attorneys. So we keep them very busy. So if they can be working on it during the summer, and a lot of my bills were ready to go the day we started the session.
And then another bill that we talked about previously that was kind of an emphasis for you, it again works with the DCFS, and this is the child support requirements with HB 384.
Yes, and I have not presented that bill yet. It hasn't come out, but what it would do is say a lot of people don't have to pay child support because they're below the income level, but other people do, and they're trying really hard to do the things that DCFS is requiring of them to either keep or get their children back. And so when you require them to pay a pretty hefty child support bill every month, and they'll garnish people's wages, it just is more than they can handle. And so I have the support of DCFS, the federal government, and many other states are saying we don't need to do this anymore. Unfortunately, it means putting a couple of million bucks back so that the state would pay it. This is not a good year to do that. We don't have a lot of money, so I may receive support for the bill. I don't know that there's going to be money, so I've got to do a little bit of checking to see where we could get the money to do this.
And then on that same note, talking about fiscal notes, last week we talked about you presenting your the adaptive driving amendments. Do you have any update on that? How did that go with your presentation?
Oh, it passed through the House Tax and Revenue Committee unanimously, and so it's ready to, it's up on what we call the Third House Reading Board, is a ways down, so it'll be a day or two before I'll be presenting it on the floor. But they loved it, and we kind of had to take a broad bill and bring it down. But I didn't know that there's actually car dealers up here, that's the niche that they fill. They put all sorts of adaptive driving equipment in cars and trucks and vans for people who need it. And so these are the kind of places that if you buy a vehicle from them, they would not charge you the tax on the adaptive driving equipment. You have to pay the tax on the vehicle, but not on that equipment. And so it's just a little bit of a help for people who are probably having struggles anyway, having a member of their family that needs that kind of help. But the people in the committee were just, they just thought it was great.
And then moving on from bills that you've kind of been sponsoring, looking at some of the more broader ones that kind of made headlines across the state, one that we were talking about beforehand was HB 400, which in layman's terms is bring your own blood bill to surgery.
Yeah, it almost sounds silly, but in the world of receiving blood, it's always nice to know, if you can, the people that donated blood to you, and there's a story behind it. The representative who is sponsoring this bill had a very good friend who was having surgery and was going to need blood and wanted to have certain people donate that blood. Well, the state of Utah says, we'll take blood, but we're not going to guarantee you're going to get it back. And so they literally had to go to Florida to do this, to have the surgery and have the blood available from the people that they wanted. And so it seemed like a common sense request. So I'm pretty supportive of it. I think it's a great idea.
And then we were talking about it beforehand, too. The number of bills, they pass the House, but then when they get to the Senate, you really don't know what direction the senators will take with it. So it kind of creates an interesting balance of powers between the House of Representatives and the senators.
Absolutely. You know, we can send a bill over to them, and they can pass it just like it is, and then it's on its way to the governor. Or they can just let it sit there in their rules committee, and I've had that happen with some of my bills, or they can make a major change. And if they do that, if they even change two words, that bill has to come back to the House, and we have to concur. We have to agree with them that we like the changes they made. So a lot of times when you and I are talking about bills, it's going to sail through the House. It could die in the Senate, or it could sail. You know, I've already had one bill make it to the Senate, but they put it on the consent board, which means they just talk about it, they vote on it, no debate. It means it's done, and then it's on its way, because it was a very, very simple bill. And so it's an interesting, just so people know, there's a lot of steps and a lot of eyes that get put on bills. And you're right, in the 45 days up here, it gets pretty intense.
And it brings me back to that classic Schoolhouse Rock song, I'm Just a Bill. It's fun to see government in action, though, seeing those checks and balances take place, whether it be the House of Representatives, the Senate, or the governor vetoing a bill. It's so fun to see a bill's journey from creation to being signed into a law. Now, Representative Watkins, unfortunately, we are running out of time. Is there anything you'd like to leave the listeners with?
No, just hang on. And if they have a bill they want to watch, just go to le.utah.gov. And they'll find a tab that they can look at bills, they can look at what we're doing. We're pretty transparent about everything, so I want everybody to know.
Well, Representative Watkins, thank you again for taking the time, as always, out of your day to come talk to us. We really appreciate it. Again, that was Representative Christine Watkins, and we were talking about what's going on up on Capitol Hill this week. And for more Castle Country Focus interviews like this one, you can stay tuned to KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM, or you can listen on the Castle Country Radio app. And for the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Aiden Mortensen.